The webcomic, Yes, I'm Hot in This, is author-illustrator Huda Femi's exploration of living in America as a hijabi, first-generation American child of immigrants. She says she thinks of the series as a collection of essays on the hilarious situations she finds herself in as a visibly Muslim woman, or the ways she makes some sad and tragic situations funny. Femi says she started the comic after the 2016 elections, and in the wake of the federal Muslim ban that restricted travel to the U.S. from mostly Muslim countries. She says portrayals of Muslims in the media lack nuance.
Either it was the brainwashed, you know, wife of a terrorist, or they were terrorists, or on the other complete other spectrum, they just hated their religion. And they were always punching down and they just wanted to escape their lives. And, oh, look, she took off her hijab and suddenly she's free. And, oh, for a white guy. And it's like, oh, you know, so I'm like, who are these Muslims and where are they finding them? Like, they exist. I don't want to ever deny that definitely people, Muslims like that do exist, you know, in terms of the, you know, they feel like they just are trapped and they don't want to be in this. And I get it. Okay. But the majority of Muslims, like the Muslims that I know, the Muslims that I grew up, our stories were not being told, our stories were not being shared. And so unfortunately, people were conflating, you know, being Muslim with like one of these two, oppressed or oppressor. And it was like, we're just normal, like people that, you know, we just have our own struggles and we have our own joys. And it's just, it sucked that those stories were not being told. So I remember for myself, one of the first stories that I wanted to tell was what it felt like to pray in public, because it was so taboo for some reason, like, but prayer is such an important part of my life. And I want people to understand that, like, I have to stop what I'm doing if suddenly the time for prayer comes in and I don't have anywhere to pray and I'm at Macy's and I suddenly need to pray. I will pick up the closest thing to me and go into a dressing room and pray in the dressing room. And yes, if I happen to be down in my supplication and I see a dirty diaper that somebody had left in the corner and suddenly think, well, this is a great place to pray. And I think that's hilarious. And it's just a part of my life that nobody really knows about because it's never really talked about. And so I just wanted to share. To me, it was like, this is the life of an everyday Muslim and the struggles that we go through. Like, this is what it feels like. And this is what our life is like. And it's just, it's nothing profound. It was just, we exist as regular people with struggles that people might not understand, but we think is, you know, yep, that's our day. That's what happens to us. And I thought maybe other people would like to hear about it too, you know, and it's just, and hopefully other Muslims maybe would think it was funny to, you know, get to laugh along with other Muslims that also go through the same struggles. And yeah.
I know you're living in Houston, but you grew up in Dearborn, and in Metro Detroit, I think we sometimes feel like the most Muslim place in the country.
Well, you know, funny enough, it was more Arab than Muslim. It was more like we are the most Arab place. And I think that distinction is so important to make because yes, there are a lot of Muslims, but it was a lot more Arab than Muslim. It was very cultural, which, I mean, it's wonderful as well. So Arab. Arab is signs, like signs in Arabic everywhere, Arab food everywhere. You see people in traditional Arab clothes just walking on the street. One of the funnier parts is you'll be driving down a main street, but it's like a busy, you know, freeway or something. And there are like these old aunties on the side of the highway pulling at grape leaves that are growing on the vine. They literally like park their car on the side of the street and they're picking grapevine. And I love it. And it's like, it's just very Arab. And it's just, you don't see that anywhere. So they're just like picking bags and bags of grape leaves. It's wonderful.
I'm bothering you during Ramadan.
No bother.
You worked on a guide to accommodating students during Ramadan. How did that come to you?
First, Aya Khalil, who is the author, she wrote this amazing Twitter thread, and it was so comprehensive, and I loved it. And I asked her if she would mind if I just illustrated it, and because I felt like I didn't see anything like that out there. And I went to Fordson, and that's a predominantly, you know, it was a lot of Muslims at that school. And I went to Lori, where there was a lot of Muslims in the school, and it was like we still didn't feel fully accommodated. Like they were like, all right, all the Muslims are going to be in the auditorium at lunch. Like you could hear a wave of tummies grumbling. It was not the best thing that I wished for, but I took Aya's amazingly written thread and I turned it into this poster. And yeah, and I tried to make it, you know, really, really simple and clear and as comprehensive as her thread was.
So how should teachers and schools be accommodating students during Ramadan?
One of the main things is, first of all, making sure that your students are Muslim. A lot of people might think Arab, you know, an Arab kid is Muslim, or if they're brown, they're Muslim or something like that. And of course, that's not the case. But if they are Muslim and you know that they're fasting, you know, being accommodating in the fact of maybe not assigning as much homework that month, or not assigning tests in the afternoon. Usually morning tests are morning are better than afternoon. We've started to get really tired in the afternoon. If they're in gym class, maybe give them alternate decisions of like something else that they can do besides any really strenuous activities, you know, kind of being understanding. Ask students like, hey, how can I help you? How can I make this easier for you? And the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the ones full of the most worship. And there tend to be like, people will stay up all night praying and then fast the next day. So they'll be extremely, you know, tired. It's so something to be aware of. At the same time, we do not want comments like, oh, wow, that must be so exhausting. Because, you know, we don't need to hear how hard it is. We know it's hard. We don't need pity. We don't need, you know, like even sympathy. That's not what, you know, we want. It's just if you want to have anything to say, be like, you know, wow, that's really what a great accomplishment that you're doing. You must be so excited. We want to reinforce with positive statements and not making kids feel like, you know, feeling bad for this act of worship that they're choosing to partake in.
I've been asking everyone this 2022 Ramadan what the holiday looked like for them the last 2 years and how it might be different this year as we kind of come out of hiding.
One of the beautiful things about Ramadan is that it's a very community-based celebration. Like it's a, you know, you practice and you observe it together. And at the same time, it's very personal. It's a very personal form of worship because, you know, it's between you and God, and only God really knows if you're fasting. And then it's really about cultivating that relationship with God. But on the other end, it's also very community driven. And so you're always inviting people over to your house, and you want that joy of breaking somebody's fast. You're invited to their house, and you get to, you know, meet your friends, and it's frenzied and hectic, and at the same time, it's fulfilling and satisfying and just a lot of fun. And so that was missing for 2020 and 2021. It was, nobody was inviting people over. And some people tried to do outside iftars, which was really nice. The masjid, our local masjid here in Houston, did outside iftars, very socially distanced, and the food was pre-packaged. And so that made me cry because it was like, oh, this is what I miss. Like, you don't realize you miss it until you're back there. And then, of course, Ramadan is also about the nightly prayers that are called Tarawih. And that's where you go, you know, from 9:30 to like almost midnight, just praying the night and, you know, standing in prayer. And the masjid is packed, packed, packed. And again, that's missing. Like, that was missing. Even though it's loud and chaotic and there are kids screaming and jumping and, you know, playing hopscotch with your heads as you're bowed down, but it's like, it's just part of being Muslim and part of connecting. And I loved it and I missed it. And now it's 2022 and I'm nursing. So I'm not fasting this year because I'm nursing. And I am not going to Tarawih this year because my baby goes to sleep at 6 and I'm at home. And my husband takes our 5-year-old and they go, yeah. So for me, this Ramadan has also kind of been like, it was so close. That was so close. And, you know, but then, you know, I have the joy of having my son as well. And I pray at home and I'll read Quran at home. And so I haven't yet gotten to experience, you know, Ramadan again the same way. And I don't know when I'm going to get to, but I'm grateful that we're starting to kind of see it come back for the community.